It's Monday, July 17th, 2006, and you're listening to episode 10 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 1 hour and 7 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan, and I'm here with Chad.
Howdy.
Though we are not going to be here for very long.
Oh, no.
We are going to turn the mics over to the ladies.
That's right.
We've been saying for a couple episodes we wanted to have a women's podcast just so they can give us their perspective on what it's like to be a girl gamer or even a girl non-gamer who just so happens to be stuck in a relationship with a gamer. Now, this is not the normal format or hosting arrangement of Fear the Boot. So if this is your first time tuning in and you want to hear what it is our show is all about and normally like, we'd recommend going back.
We recommend turning this off now.
Yes. Go back.
Run for it.
Go back and listen to episode 9, which is a lot more typical of what we do here.
Well, it's a lot more us, so it's a lot better.
Exactly. And then you can come back and listen to this one later once you've built up some kind of personal stamina.
There you go.
So with no further ado, let's turn it over to them.
You're listening to Fear the Boot, and today is Monday, July 17th. I'm not quite sure which episode this is, because none of us really listen to this podcast.
I do.
If you couldn't tell, today's topic is Wives of Donuts. That's right, the wives have taken over. Donuts, not really donuts, but that for dorks. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and start introducing who's going to be hosting the show today. I'm Carla, and I'm the wife of Dan. We also have Dawn, who's the wife of Chad.
Hi.
Teresa, who's the wife of Tim.
Hello.
And lastly, we have Melina, who is the wife of Adam, and she will also be hosting today's show. So with that, Melina, I'll go ahead and turn this over to you.
Hi there. My name is Melina, and I want to expand on that introduction a little bit. I have known Adam for 5 long years and been married for 4 even longer ones, and I really got introduced to gaming after meeting him. Teresa?
Hello, I'm Teresa. I've known my husband for 8 years, and I've been married, it'll be 7 years in December.
And your husband's Tim again?
And my husband is Tim, and we met in 1998.
Okay, I'm Dawn. I'm Chad's wife. I was actually gaming before, actually about the same time that I met him, and we've been together for about, I'd say, 11 years.
I'm Carla. As I introduced myself earlier, I am Dan's wife. I have known Dan for 6 years, and I have only been married for about, I guess it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years. He is a big gamer. I'm not, but we'll talk about that a little bit more later, I guess.
Why are we really here today? Okay, we're here to tell you what we think it's like to be married to gamers and also give a little bit of a feminine perspective into the whole world of gaming, because we know you all really want to hear about that.
Exactly.
Well, hey, there are a lot of women gamers out there. I think that the hobby has become a lot more popular since I started gaming, which was, you know, like 12 years ago.
This is true.
So, yeah. I think there is an appeal for the feminine perspective.
Well, also, and I know there's a lot of other podcasts out there for gaming, just because I've heard Dan and some of the other guys talk about it. But the ones that they talk about, I don't think there's ever any women on there. So even though, like Dawn said, this is something that's appealed to women, there's not a lot of women who talk about it. So I think this is great that we've got our limelight.
We're going to be the leaders of the movement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is something that, you know, would be nice to hear from a woman's perspective of the gamers and the people that are not gamers but have husbands that are gamers.
Is this true?
So what do you guys think it's like? What's it like to live 24/7, 365 a year with a gamer?
It is hard. Your relationship is, you have to be creative. You have to figure out how to have your own relationship with your husband outside of the gaming aspect, because I don't game at all.
Right.
And still have that relationship with him that can be a significant relationship.
Yeah, just to expound on that, what Teresa was saying, I think it really depends on if you are a gamer yourself, if you're a wife who is also a gamer. And like you're saying, Teresa, you're not, whereas, you know, Dan is, and in my relationship with him, I'm not a gamer. So that does make it hard. But what about for you guys, Melina and Dawn?
Well, it just depends on whether or not he's playing a game I like. Because, like, I can play, you know, pretty much anything. But, like, say, he does a lot of computer RPGs, too, like Warcraft. And I just cannot get into it to save my life. But, I mean, if we're playing something like Call of Cthulhu, or if we're playing Star Wars, or if we're playing Dungeons and Dragons, Star Trek. Those are all great games that I've played before, and you know, we definitely have common ground there.
Well, for me, I really think that gaming can take the place of pretty much anything that a husband can be obsessed with. If Adam was completely obsessed with football and he had to watch football every single weekend, and that would be a lot more horrible for me if it, you know, than it being gaming or his beloved computer. He's actually told me many times that if the apartment was burning down, we were to run in and he was to grab one computer and I was to grab the other one.
And I'm glad your priority.
Oh, yeah. If I didn't get that computer,
yet.
Yeah, he's going to leave my ass in there.
Now, wait a second. You're getting a cat next week. What if you have a cat? Does it still get the computer, or does that change and the cat supersede the computer now?
Well, oh, boy, I don't know.
Cat, a problem. I mean, he might get the cat before he gets you.
Cat or divorce. I hope my cat's going to be smart enough to, you know, maybe, like, run off the balcony when the flame starts spurting out.
Cats are pretty smart. You know, they may be able to do that for you so you can grab the computer.
Does anybody think that their husband being a gamer, as opposed to, you know, like I said, if he was obsessed with sports or, you know, any other thing, do you think it affects your relationship more negatively because it's gaming?
It's harder to talk about in social circles, you know, because a lot of people just don't understand what it is or can't relate with it.
Right.
So it gives you a lot of difficulty in, you know, well, this is what my husband does for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, he does that. Well, aren't those weird people the ones who do that?
Used to be. It's popular now, man. It's like where gaming is today. When you see all the commercials for the games and stuff. When I was in high school, you were such a dork if you even had anything that had D&D on it, you know. So from my perspective, you know, Dan does game a lot, and I don't really game at all. What makes it kind of hard is that, you know, when he's with all of his friends, that's what they want to talk about. That's what they want to do. That's what it is. And it's not that it's not interesting to me, because it is. It's just the level of excitement and the level of engagement that they have on those topics kind of start to meld into each other. And I think it just gets old for me. And so it's like, let's do something a little different, you know, like let's go outside for once, you know, or get a tan, good God, you know?
How large is your circle of friends, like, outside the gaming community? Do you feel like you have a larger group of gaming friends that you can relate with, or do you have others?
Me personally or Dan?
Well, we're here to talk about you.
Oh, yeah, well, of course, yeah. How important are the guys? Not important at all. Personally, me, I do have a large group of friends, none of them who game. There are some individuals, you know, since today's age, everybody's online. You know, a lot of people I know go to feartheboot.com and get on the forums and chat. There's also other forums that I frequent, and I have just hundreds of friends on those forums that I'm actually close friends with. And
nice
I don't
plug,
think,
by the way.
That's what?
Nice plug,
oh, yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, thanks. I tried. But really, there's just not a lot of people that I know personally who game. My best friend, for instance, does not game at all. Her husband is a big gamer, and he's not like role play games, but he's always like on Age of Empires and some of those RTS, I guess those are strategy games. And he plays those a lot, but whenever I talk to her and she's just like, oh, her eyes start glazing over and she's like, I'm so sick of hearing about games. So that's kind of my release, but it is hard, like Don was saying, to talk about it, because people just like, even though it's popular, still the minority of what people are wanting to do, you know.
I know whenever I try to talk to people about the gaming, that what my husband does for a hobby, and they ask me not being a gamer, me trying to explain to somebody who's not a gamer and me not being a gamer, what he does is like trying to explain, you know, nuclear physics to just anybody.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to try to explain it to somebody who has no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. They sit around and play make-believe.
Yeah, and trying to explain Dungeons and Dragons to somebody can be a little difficult sometimes.
Well, I have a father that I can't even really explain it to, because he's one of those old-fashioned ones that might believe that D&D isn't exactly wholesome because he misunderstands it.
Wasn't there a topic on the forums about that?
Dan killed it pretty quickly.
It did. It definitely got locked.
I think it's a good thing, too, because I think it's a bit controversial, and it's better to keep the peace amongst the peeps, you know?
Yeah. Peeps. I love peeps. I wish it was Easter just so I could get peeps. Sorry. I think there was somebody talking about how D&D and there's like anti-Christian and all this. And people...
I actually wrote a paper on that when I was in college.
Really?
I wish I still had that.
You could read some excerpts today if you did.
I know.
It would probably get dumped, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was totally against D&D in high school. I thought it was just the most awful thing in the whole wide world. And now I have a husband that does it, and I understand it now. And so I'm not against it, of course, anymore. But in high school, that was like, a whole high school was against D&D.
Well, I think
like the worst thing in the world.
Related to the whole Harry Potter, you know, thing.
It's the same thing happening in a different generation.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's like, oh, yeah. Harry Potter. And then people are like, oh, it's evil. It's wizards. It's wands. It's, you know, fantasy. And it's like, it's just make-believe, people. It's not, you know, but yeah, there's some people who, you know, they have these religions and go way beyond what's, I don't know. But yeah, well, we better switch topics because, yeah.
Yeah, this could get messy.
Yeah, it could. So
I was just going to add to that if this doesn't get dumped. Like, I know a lot of people could probably relate to this. And when I was raised to think, you know, I knew nothing about Dungeons and Dragons, but, you know, I heard about it and it was like, oh, that's the same thing as those Ouija boards. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to be going near anything like that. And then when I started working with Adam at Deerberg's, it was my first job, and I met him and Chad both at the same time, and they're like,
oh my
hey.
God, double threat.
Yeah. And it was like, hey, do you want to come play Dungeons and Dragons with us? And I actually got a chance to hear from someone who knew what they were talking about, what it actually was. And I'm like, you know, that sounds like a lot of fun. That doesn't sound like I'm going to be summoning actual demons.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not actually summoning demons. You don't really have magic wands or things. Yeah.
Yeah, basically you sit around a table and play act.
So, you know, we're all absolutely beautiful, gorgeous women.
Of course.
We're the dimes. You know?
It makes for great podcast/radio.
Yeah. What attracted us to these guys? I mean,
that's a good question.
Why are we with them? What makes us geek wives?
Well, I don't know. I think Chad's actually a geek husband because I would think I might actually be a bigger geek than he is. It's kind of a tough choice, but I think I honestly may be a bigger geek.
Oh, we have a competition.
She's a woman. You can't possibly be, by the fact that you're a woman, already supersedes the geekdom for being a man. So you're better.
I don't know. It depends on whether or not you think geek is an insult.
This is true. Today is like a positive thing. It's kind of like, you know, man, that's bad, but bad in a good way, not bad in a bad way.
When so, I go to cons,
it's the good bad.
I wear my geek button with pride.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, I keep seeing like more and more geek shirts. John's always got these geek shirts on, but they're actually like really cool. Like, and I would have never known any of this stuff had I not been married to Dan, but he was over here one day and I think he had something with a Final Fantasy IX character on it or with the you know, some sort of image on there. And I was
Black
like,
Mage shirt?
Was it? Yeah, I think that's what it was, which I actually...
That's like Final Fantasy 1 or 2 or something.
Well, there was one... I thought it was the one from 9,
it's like
but...
the one with the 8-bit picture.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember seeing
it's
it.
Really
that's
cute.
That's the tattoo he wants to get.
Is that the tattoo? Yeah. Well, you know, I would never have known that had I not, you know, been married to Dan, but... So maybe I am a big geek too.
So how did you ladies end up with these guys? What attracted you to them?
I didn't know Tam was a gamer when I met him.
Oh, no.
The bait and switch. Yeah, I did not really know. He didn't bring me around his friends for a couple weeks. And then, you know, I got hooked on him before that got me into the group. And then, you know, what are you going to do? Dump him? I mean, gosh.
You know? I actually met Dan online. I'm not really embarrassed to say that. I kind of figured by proxy of him being on the internet that he was probably into at least some games because that's when it was starting to come around. But when I met him and started, you know, hanging out with him, I remember Dan telling me that immediately he knew I was going to be his geeky wife, or he knew I was going to be at least really important to him, because our first outing, like our first date where we went out, we were talking about something. And as you guys all know, I'm a huge Star Trek Next Generation fan. Love it. And we were talking about Star Trek, and I said something about a wormhole, and he was just like, oh my God, she knew what a wormhole was. So I think that like solidified that I really am a geek. And so, you know, just we had a lot of things in common as far as what we liked with Star Trek and sci-fi. And that's kind of what attracted me to him is, I mean, not just from the gaming side of it, but, you know, Dan's a really good speaker and a really good, he's just got a lot of qualities. So that's kind of, geekness aside, that's what I was drawn into him for. All mushy, mushy.
Well, Don's got a good story about a comic book shop.
I actually was working at a comic book shop when I was 17, and Chad and Dan both shopped there after school.
And what are they doing right now?
What are they doing right now? They're out shopping
and getting manicures and pedicures.
Oh, yes. That's what they said they were going to do when they left.
And didn't Adam say he was going to get a bikini wax?
Yeah, I told him to remind him to do that.
Yeah, okay.
He's going to get little slime decals
on
his nails.
That'll be so pretty when they come back. I'm so excited.
I know, they're going to look better than us.
I
yeah,
know.
Like that's possible. Anyway, I'm sorry, Don. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I met him at the comic book shop I was working at the time. And actually, that's the same place where I did my first RPG. He was a gamer before I was, but I think the first one was actually Star Wars. And we gamed in the shop, and he was part of that group. And part of the way we actually got together, and we didn't actually start dating for several years later, but we were flirting with dice. I kid you not. We would throw dice across the room at each other.
Like literally like Lambert's toss rolls throwing dice.
Bink, bink.
How cute.
Yeah, it was really sick. Of course, I was dating someone at the time, so maybe not such a good idea. Aww. But, you know, it all worked out in the end.
How can you resist the hair of Chad?
He has some mighty hair, I have to admit.
I think the word we are looking for is fur.
He didn't have that much hair when he was 18.
He sprouted out right after the wedding.
Yeah, he was actually pretty cut when he was 18.
That comes with age. That hair does. As soon as it starts,
and no activity.
I'm sorry,
no activity.
Mm-hmm. Hair grows from lack of activity.
No, guts grow from lack of activity.
Oh, he's not cut anymore like you.
No. I was going to say
so. No activity.
If
no.
Hair is locked.
He looks pretty good right now, I think. But let's not talk so much about him. Let's talk about
the cute comic book story.
Yes. Okay. So more about you.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, I got into the hobby through these people, and I've been interested and enjoyed the games ever since. I find it an enjoyable hobby. I mean, I write too, so I enjoy making characters, and I write like following stories and things like that.
Have you ever run your own game?
I have actually, as a matter of fact, run a game or two. I ran an alternative game a few years back, which Chad was in.
I was in too.
Okay, you were in that also, Melina, and you were also in my Call of Cthulhu game.
You know who I played in the alternative game?
I don't remember.
Sexbot 3000.
Oh, that's right. They were talking about that not too long ago. I think they were joking around about John being a sex bot or something.
He actually, yeah, didn't he play like a sex robot in one of the other
I don't remember, but...
That's so wrong.
Yeah. We had fun. My one alternative game, I don't think that lasted very long, but the Call of Cthulhu one went over really well. And I'd like actually to run that again.
Oh, I'm there. I am... the biggest Cthulhu fan ever.
I know.
I have all the plushies.
She's wearing a Cthulhu shirt here. She's wearing the baby Cthulhu shirt, if anyone's familiar with that. It is pretty awesome.
With a pacifier and a skull rattle.
Yes.
Very nice. Well, if you ever run a game, I might actually play. Not that I do. I wanted to do the latest D&D game they're getting ready to play, but Dan asked me. He didn't want me to play, so I'm deeply hurt.
Oh.
So I'll just live vicariously through you ladies when you play. You can report and be like, we had so much fun. Or actually, it really sucked, Carla, because you weren't there.
We'll tell you it was awful.
Yeah.
So you don't have to feel bad.
Thanks, you guys. I knew I can count on you.
Well, me and Adam met. It's really not an interesting story as Dawn's.
But tell us anyway.
We didn't meet on the internet. Me and Adam met at Deerberg's. It was my first job. I was a salad bar girl and he was a produce guy. And so we like worked in the same little back room and no, we
Ooh,
never had sex.
I was going
to be fun.
You could have made your own fruit salad.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I crack myself up.
The first week of work, like we had this really hot chick working back there in the salad bar and she was a complete bimbo. And Adam, if you even talk about her at the next podcast in response to this, I will kill you.
And she'll kill you in public too.
Already.
But no, he had a thing for her and she was hot and stuff. Her name was Melissa. And I had a thing for this other produce guy named Chris. And so me and Adam just kind of became friends. And I don't know what happened. We became good friends and I started gaming. And
he started stealing his hat.
Oh, we used to flirt. It was so disgusting.
They flirted so much. It made me want to throw up. I honestly just wanted to smack them both.
That's a sweet story. I'm sure the guys are like...
It's not sweet at all.
I think the guys are going to be like, good God, what did we do letting them have mic time? They're talking about how we met and how sweet we were.
3 hours later.
Oh, yeah. I think we could probably talk about our husbands for a lot longer than what we're going to talk about our husbands.
Well, what about like... You know, the people that listen to this podcast know, you know, how Dan and Adam and John and Tim and who am I missing? Oh,
Phil.
Chad.
Don't forget your friend Chad.
Let's get Chad, the big one. They know how they are, you know. you know, as gamers and what they have to say about gaming. But
they come off so professional on this podcast. I think maybe the listeners deserve to know a little non-professional.
A little dirt.
Dirt?
Let's
oh,
tell
yes.
them.
Let's throw the dirt, ladies.
What are the guys? What are the guys like behind the scenes, behind the mics?
Hmm. How about when they're at home and not gaming? And just how they are with us, or, you know, do they clean the toilets?
Oh, hell no.
No. Well, yeah. No. Well, I mean, actually, Dan does, but not very often. So, but
oh, I can't get Tim to touch it.
He's
so,
the
you
worst
know.
House husband ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've got a consensus on this. Chad is definitely the worst house husband.
House husband meaning he doesn't do any chores?
He
or
does no chores.
No chores.
He's been a little bit better lately because of circumstances. Overall, no.
Well, how many husbands are good at chores, though? I don't think that's just them. I think that's all husbands. I don't know. Is Adam good at chores?
No, if I force him or if I'm having a really bad day, he might take the trash out. And if I'm having a really bad day, he'll put the liner in the trash can.
Wow, that's a bonus.
He hates doing dishes.
Oh, my God. He did the trash. You're so lucky.
Oh, my God. He put the liner in.
And then he'll say, honey, I cleaned the apartment. And I'll look around, and it's a disaster, but the trash can's empty.
The one thing Tim is good at, he's a very good cook. And I have a very lucky when
well,
it comes to
yeah,
that.
Chad's a good cook, too.
He can be.
Yeah.
If he's paying attention. Because a lot of times he'll burn things. It's like, oh, that would have been so good if it weren't burnt.
Dan's actually, he's a pretty good house husband. I'll have to give him credit. You know, I mean, he doesn't really, I don't give him a whole lot of chores. Like, we try and split things. And so I'm not like, okay, you know, do all of this. I really, his only chores is to vacuum and to do the trash. Well, and kind of sort of the pet cages, you know, with our animals. But that one's kind of something we both will do just because it has to be done so often. But really with the vacuuming, he excels at that because, well, you have to when you have dark blue navy carpet and two dogs and a cat and there's fur everywhere within 2 days. So,
well, he must do a great job because your guys' house always looks immaculate.
Well, he vacuums every week. So I have to give him credit for that. So, yes, you guys who are going to visit at feartheview.com, know Dan is a vacuumer and he's a damn good one. So
Tim has a responsibility of cleaning the cat box. And then cooking. And if I
he
ask
doesn't
him,
cook after cleaning the cat box, though, does he?
Oh, he washes his hands first.
Okay, that's good.
Because
that could be gross.
Would be a little gross.
I'm not coming over for dinner.
He cooks first, and then he cleans the cat box. You know, that's just a little.
We just need to stipulate that.
Yeah, we will stipulate that. But that is his responsibility. I do not do it whatsoever. So he's good responsibility. And if I ask him to do something, he might do it. But if I don't ask him, he won't even think about it.
Yeah, I'm in that boat. What's, like, the grossest thing they do? Like, Adam will pick the lint out of his belly button, he'll stalk me with it, and then he'll throw it on me.
Oh,
nice. I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah, if we want to see tomorrow.
You don't want to know. I really, really don't.
Does it involve fur?
No.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass Dan too much. But really, the grossest thing that he does is the whole belching thing, but I think most people do belch.
You can sing and belch. That's not a bad thing. That's a talent.
Okay. Yeah. Well, see, I was raised that burping was gross, and so I can't get past it when I'm sitting somewhere else. Like, rat.
His brother's a lot worse.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, all of his friends do it. That's just what they're just like blah blah blah. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, good God. I'm more used to it. But it's still
if that's
really
the
gross
worst of your problems.
Oh, I'm sure there could be worse behind closed doors.
I guess maybe I'm just a belcher, so it's an acceptable thing to me. Or maybe I've just been around Dan and Chad too long.
Yeah, that's what you're desensitized.
I'm desensitized.
Enough about them.
This is turning into Howard Stern. Okay.
Well, I want to know more about like what their hobbies are outside of gaming. Like
what their hobbies are?
Yeah, like does Adam or Tim or Chad do anything else other than gaming? Mm-hmm. Or is
Adam
that their main?
Adam sits at his computer and like any spare moment out of the day when he's not at school or work, he'll either program his mercenaries database for Battletech, which he's like trying to get me actively involved with. And I made the terrible mistake of making a deal with him that if he went to see Silent Hill with me, that I would do the help manual for his mercenaries game. So I still haven't done that yet, but yeah, he only sits at the computer, plays Rome Total War, or I don't even know what the latest game he just bought is. You guys?
Chad's hobby right now is reading biographies. He reads a lot of history and biographies. He listens to a lot of music. He likes loud, hard metal stuff and rap and things like that.
Old school rap, right?
Old school rap.
Tim right now is very, very much into Warhammer 40,000. He has little bitty figures all over my house. Some painted, some not painted. Some he has to still paint, and he's going to go to the to Games Day up in Chicago in a couple weeks. And so I have not had a husband for several months because all he's doing is sitting in front of his stuff and painting and putting together these itty bitty figures.
It's kind of like what Dawn was saying earlier. She was wow widowed because of World of Warcraft.
Oh,
so
yes. 40K. I am 40K widowed until after Games Day. I told my husband that after it, I am like taking you away from all that stuff and you're going to be mine for a couple days because, you know,
put a leash on him.
Yeah, I'm going to put a leash on him for a couple days.
Dan's got a really good hobby of collecting hobbies. I think that's his thing. I mean, in the few years I've known him, he's wanted to learn how to play the cantaloupe, the, what's that other instrument?
Bouzouki.
The bouzouki. He wants to make wine, of course, his novels, and he's got all these unfinished projects. So that's what I say Dan's hobby is collecting hobbies. So that's what
I was kind of like that until I ran out of room. my apartment's so small.
I hope it doesn't come to that. Most of his hobbies are in this back room over here. So,
well, one of the things, another thing that Tim's huge into is that we have about 500 to 700 books in my apartment.
Oh, I bet Don can beat you.
I think I probably
I mean,
more.
You probably have more.
I would have more if
you
I didn't.
Have them stacked all over your apartment because he buys them and just as he finishes them, it just falls wherever it falls. And that's a little annoying.
Well, yours is actually in bookshelves, though.
Yeah, mine are actually in
triple stacked bookshelves.
I have four bookshelves, which are completely crammed, double stacked. There are some on the floor. They're under the bed. They're in books. boxes downstairs.
You have books within books.
I have books within books. Awesome. Yes, it's amazing, isn't it?
So, okay, before we all get to the female perspective of gaming, while we're all talking about hobbies, you know, besides gaming, I know we have 50% of us here are gamers and 50% aren't, but before we talk about that, what do you ladies like to do while your husbands are otherwise occupied?
Well, it looks like I'm doing this podcast right now.
While they're shopping.
They're shopping. Pedicures. I play The Sims 2. That's one of the games I like to play. Let's see. I hang out online, read my live journal, read other people's live journals, chat. I do, you know.
A lot of computer stuff.
A lot of computer-related stuff. Mm. And I read. I read excessively.
That's cool. Mm. I like reading, too. I just don't do it very often just because I just never have the time, it feels like. But I'm more of an active person. That's why I'm not so much a gamer. I'd rather be outside, you know, playing sports, preferably soccer. But it seems like there's no women's soccer teams in St. Louis for outdoor soccer.
Aww.
So, yeah. So I'm just getting fat and not playing soccer. I also like to do a lot of just, you know, kickboxing and stuff. But unfortunately, there's nowhere around here where we live that has good classes. So I'm just kind of screwed. So I just melt glass. I got fire and glass, and I melt glass in my garage. Very safe, but that's what I do when Dan's usually gaming as I'm out in the garage melting glass.
I enjoy making costumes. Sorry.
I was just going to say that Carla makes some really beautiful beads.
No, now there is a shameless plug for him on feartheboot.com.
There is, but this is not shameless. I have no shame.
Oh, well.
And Carla, you do make some absolutely beautiful beads.
Thank you. I'm blushing if you guys can't tell. But thank you, Dawn. You didn't have to say that. But anyway, it's off me. So Melina, yes, costumes. She makes fantastic costumes.
I try until I run out of money and then have to not make any more for a year. But
she made a kick ass Jack Sparrow costume.
Oh my God, it was beautiful.
It's awesome for Adam.
I still haven't posted pictures.
You
of
do.
That.
You I have, so, I have so many people up. Who want to see those pictures.
I will pay you, and I have no money.
That's the only like real costume I ever made for Adam, and it was 9 months in the making. And I have to say that my friend Becky helped me a ton with that.
That's awesome.
She's a better seamstress than I am. But other than that, I just make myself costumes for conventions. Archon. 3 months.
As I told you earlier, I'm a complete opposite of the gaming industry. I actually sit down and do kind of cross stitch as my
She's
hobby.
A good Susie homemaker. Probably have an apron and like little, what is it, like the little 40s dress.
Oh.
You have the finger styled hair.
I have done kind of cross-stitch since I was a child, so I do several. The longest one I've ever done was 6 years in the making of a kind of cross-stitch. So
that requires lots of patience.
And it's a very large one that I did, and I finally finished it. So
I'm surprised you don't game more with some of the campaigns these guys have that run like freaking double digits, you know, in hours. You could totally get a counted cross-stitch done in the amount of time it takes to run a campaign.
Our friend Katie used to bring her crochet or whatever.
She was knitting
while she was gaming. It was great.
Another thing I'm big into is I like to read. I read a lot of books, but
right now I can't really do my Candy Crush as much as I want to because I have a kitten that's about 10 weeks old and the kitten likes to pull my string out from my needle and get to my needle and all the kind of stuff.
I really can't do
a lot right now unless she's asleep or something like that. But I'm working on a one that has two white tigers in it right now. So, and I give all of mine away. I have never kept a Candy Crush it other than the one Tim asked me to keep. So,
cool.
So Teresa, you said you don't game. You used to game a little. You might have had some experiences. Carla, you've had a little bit of experience with gaming. Me and Don are the only two probably that have had, Don more than I, but
yeah,
we've had a lot
gamers.
Of, right. Let's talk about why you two don't, why you haven't kept up with it and why, you know, Don and I have. What do you like about it? What do you not like?
I think it really just depends in the amount of, it's not that I don't like gaming per se, because as most of you guys know, I've only had one game. I've only been in one game, and it was pretty close to the time that I met Dan. I think they were running some campaigns, and I was intrigued and would watch their games. I think Chad has said, you know, gaming is not a spectator sport and all of this, which is true, but, you know, as long as I keep my mouth quiet and don't involve myself, I can just sit there and watch them. And so I was intrigued. I was curious. And so when I first met Dan, we would, you know, I would sit there and watch them game, and I decided, all right, I really would like to just try one. So they stopped and decided to start a Star Trek campaign. And as you guys know, I really like Star Trek. I was a little bummed because they did the whole Kirk Spock era, mm-hmm. and they didn't do the Next Generation, which is what I'm accustomed to. But it was fun. You know, I had the chance to make a character. I made a Betazoid. I think her name was Fashia, I think is what she was called. But anyway, so I was this Betazoid, and when I rolled my character, I wasn't really good at allocating the numbers, I guess the skill points or whatever. So I put most of them into strength. So I was like this like super strong Betazoid woman. And so whenever we had issues in the game, like they take turn to me like, we need to lift that car. Fashia, can you lift that car? And I'd be like, yes, I can lift it, you know, because I was so strong. But anyway, I mean, the game was fun. The only reason I didn't do it again, like after that campaign closed, was because the length that they would game. As you guys know, I'm a very active person. So to sit behind a table for 10, 12 hours was just, it was too much for me. I wouldn't be able to keep my focus. And some people are like, 10 hours, that's short. And others are like, that's way too long. And so that's, it kind of turned me off to where I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to play another one. It was just too long.
Yeah, it just depends on the type of group you're with. I think a 6-hour game is pretty good. You know, as far as an average.
You can still, I mean, as long as it's shorter than a work day, my God, you know.
It just shouldn't feel like work. At that point, it's no longer a game. It's you know, it's not a hobby. It's
yeah, it was pretty
it's
long.
Something else.
So, I mean, I would be willing to do it again. It's not that I don't like gaming. I just would need it in smaller chunks. But lately, they've been playing a lot of games. And I think when Dan GMs, he wants smaller numbers in his, than mm-hmm. his campaigns. And so with this last one, once it got up to 5 people, he's like, well, I really don't want to do a 6-person. And since I always kind of hem and haw on whether or not I won a game, that's why he cut me.
And Picard's not involved.
And Picard's not, well, yeah, Picard or Data. So, God, what's the point of being there? So, but that's okay. So they're going to go ahead and game, but I would have had another opportunity. And maybe I will, because I think John's going to Italy for a while, so they might need a substitute. Well,
John's going to be gone.
John,
it'll
we're
going to so
miss
sad.
You so much.
John, don't leave.
Little do you two know that John services all the wives of the other
role Wow,
players.
That sounds so bad. And what is it? He's always the deciding person. What do you call it?
He's our tribunal.
Tribunal.
He is the tribunal.
Adam and I bicker a lot, and once in a while, we have these arguments where he absolutely positive he's right, and I'm just like, no, I am right. And John is the only person we know that is objective enough that we can call him in and he can be like, I'm in the tribunal, this is my ruling. This,
yeah. And it stands
and we accept it. Yeah.
But anyway, so that's kind of where I stand with gaming. So it's not that I don't like it, it's just I would need different circumstances than what Dan's gaming groups tend to want to do. But I don't know, Teresa, is that the same for you?
Sort of. I tried it probably when Carla, when you first came into our group, I had tried it once, and it was a Star Trek game. And
was it? It wasn't the same game I was in.
You were there, but I don't think it was. We only did 2 games, and then they quit the whole game. And so it was something that I kind of determined that was not my thing, and I really don't know why I don't. It's just because I have other interests, and sitting behind a table for that long, I literally cannot do it. I can't sit that long. And so I never really thought about doing it again, and nothing really interests me with it. My husband is the creative person, and that's kind of, I support him in what he does. I just don't choose to do it myself.
Could you imagine a game that would come along that if it came along, it would be so appealing to you that you would give it a chance?
I think you'd have to show me every single game possibly out there, and then I might try one of them.
It just depends. It's probably more like, what is it do you like? You know, like, you know, I really like Lord of the Rings. Love Lord of the Rings. I really like Star Trek. So if there is a fantasy type game that has orcs and has hobbits and has stuff that I can relate to that I enjoy reading about or watching movies about, then I can see myself, you know, playing that game because I'm interested in it. But with you, you might not be as interested in those types of things as I am. You know, I'm really into Star Trek. I know a lot about it. So I'd be willing to do a game with that. But for you, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe if there was a game on Counted Crosses,
I would excel. Yeah, that's just something that, you know, I'd be like, ooh. I don't know. I guess I have a lot of problems with sitting in a chair for a long period of time. So with that, it never really occurred to me to even think about the gaming because, like Carla says, it's 10 hours long. And even if it's 6 hours, I can't sit in a chair for more than two.
Yeah, we suggested that they cut the time down so we could play. And I think they were like, well, you can't get anywhere in 10 hours. It's like, what?
Yeah, and whenever I did play those two times, it was such a long time sitting there, and I just couldn't do it. And so I just kind of come to the conclusion that, you know, this is Tim's thing, and I let him do his own thing.
Right.
I have my own thing that he will never, ever pick up a needle in his life, and we have our own hobbies, and we are okay with that. So
I think that's a really fair assessment. I really do. I mean, some people, it's not something that appeals to their personality, so why would they waste time doing it, you know, when they have something that they enjoy doing much more and they would like to use their extra time for? Yeah, I think that's really fair.
So on the flip side of their coin, then, Don, why are you attracted to gaming? Why does it draw you in? Why have you been doing it for so long?
Well, let's see. I like playing pretend. I love using my imagination. I love making characters. I love interacting with imaginary characters.
What's your favorite character you ever created?
My favorite character I ever created? Actually, none of the characters that I actually game with are... I don't know. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I usually just kind of come up with a generic character that, you know... If you follow fan fiction, you probably know this term. It's called a Mary Sue. Basically has all the qualities you wish you had. And I think that's a lot of what people do when they create a character. It's like, it's a wish fulfillment sort of thing. It's like you wish you could, you know, lift a boulder or fire an arrow, you know, two arrows at the same time or whatever. And,
so
that's kind of, I don't really get too deep into those characters because it's like I have a lot of energy I put towards other projects like my fiction writing.
I'm an 105-pound elf with double D-size cup.
Yes. Yes, you are,
and
aren't you?
And you have ripped abs. You actually have a six-pack for abs.
Sorry, continue.
She just described herself, you know.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the appeal to me is, you know, just using my imagination, you know, playing this character that does things that I wouldn't otherwise be able to do. And actually listening to the story that somebody like Dan or Chad can tell, because they're both very, very good at that. And, you know, I love storytelling just about more than anything else in this world. So that's pretty much the end-all be-all of the appeal for me.
I don't really think I can describe the appeal for me as well as you did, other than that, you know, it's nice to just be around friends and to interact in something that's imaginary, I guess, because... You know, I mean, I hate to say it, but my life's pretty boring. But, well, it's not that boring, but it's not as cool as, you know, the
honor. How can it be boring when you're married to Adam, who's chasing you with belly lint? I mean, my God.
He's exciting.
I don't know. I think that when I first started gaming, I, you know, did play the 105-pound elf who was beautiful and everything I wanted to be and a magic user, and I had a lot of fun with it, but... Through later games that I played, and again, I have not gamed as much as Dawn. I probably did it for about maybe 2 to 3 years straight, and then I had kind of a sabbatical. But I tried to experiment with different characters. I actually played a man, and my name's Melina, and they all lovingly referred to me as Manlina.
Oh.
But that That character was a lot of fun. I played, I got to play a little girl, and that was a lot of fun because I could just be really irritating. And I think I played a really old magical woman once, but you know, I try to expand my my horizon as far as my character, and I think that's what might be the appeal for me.
That you get to do something that you normally wouldn't be able to.
I get to act like a man.
He sounds like my first character, my big manly Betazoid woman. I would like to have seen a drawing
Amazon.
Of her. In Amazon, yes.
So, with Dawn, what is your favorite thing? What's your favorite aspect of gaming? Like, what would you say is the best part of it?
I think it's just when you get to a point in the game where everybody... it kind of gets in sync. You know, you are playing your character. You can see the setting. You know, are interacting with each other, and you are actually, you know, you feel like you're actually playing a game that's in this setting. You're interacting. I don't know how to describe it really. You just actually get there, I guess.
My favorite part is when the DM does such, or GM, does such a good job of making the setting real. And without getting too much into his story, you know, Chad, this one time, not that he doesn't do a good job all the time, but this one time he did such a good job with making the scary atmosphere with ash falling from the sky.
Oh, yeah, I've heard him talk pieces about that.
And a zombie was coming out from behind the gravestone at me, and I just was really into it, and I thought that was awesome.
I think a game experience can totally be made or broken just by how good your GM is. Like,
yeah,
if you
totally.
Just have someone who's not that strong, it's going to fall apart because people are going to become disinterested. And luckily, I'm married to a guy who is an extremely good GM. And, you know, that one game I was in, it was really good. And I remember when we did the last campaign and Dan closed off the game, I was like, whoa. It's kind of like the way we were after the movie Unbreakable. We were like, dude, that was freaking awesome, you know? And I was like, I so want to see that movie, or a film or a movie of that game.
Right.
It was so good. And, you know, and I'm not a gamer, but I thoroughly enjoyed that campaign.
So this question for Dawn, because you've had the most extensive experience out of all of us, and, you know, maybe Teresa and Carla can answer this as to maybe what you would like if it existed. What was your favorite game or your top, you know, few favorite games? Not as in story or
Well, as
genre.
far as games go, I've had a lot of fun playing MechWarrior and BattleTech with the group. It seems to be pretty high consensus that's like the ultimate game or something. That's what we always play. D&D is great just for a generic fantasy realm. And like Chad and Dan were saying last podcast, that the new rule system is pretty good. It's pretty even. And I think it's a really good game to play. Let me think of some others. I really love Call of Cthulhu. I wish I knew more about it. I wish I've read more H.P. Lovecraft.
Because that's one of my favorites as well.
I wish somebody else could actually run it so I could play.
I am so afraid of running a game. I have never run a game, and I know Adam is going to complain about this, but yeah, I just am afraid of sucking. So,
well, you won't know till you try, though.
Yeah. But what about you two? Like, I know this might be a really hard question, but
yeah, for me it would be a very hard question. Just because I send my husband off to gaming, I usually don't go with him to even listen.
You pack him cookies.
I pack him cookies. Actually, you know, I think I have packed him a lunch every once in a while. But one time, a long time ago, probably about 5 years ago, he had a two gaming groups. The group that he has with now, and then another group that came over to my apartment and would game. And so I would sit on our staircase and listen to them. And I enjoyed listening to the game, just because I didn't have to have any imagination. I didn't have to do anything, but I could listen to it. And it was very interesting to listen to it. And
I actually think that those games can be more spectator sports to a degree. Like, it's not like, oh, I can't do anything from 7 to 10 because I've got to listen to them game. But I think they are more interesting from the outside than people think they are.
Well, just seeing the interaction between everybody and it's sort of like watching a live action movie.
A play,
because the hand motions, the expressions on their faces.
If
just
they
what
actually
doing,
talk in character exactly. with the voices and stuff,
yeah,
you know?
It's very interesting. And just because I don't do it myself does not mean I don't appreciate it and I don't want to support him in it. And I do support him in anything that he decides to do. Just because I don't do it doesn't mean that I don't
What if he wanted to be a pimp? Would you support that?
Well, you know, if it involves gaming, there's a fine line there, Carla, you know, between pimping and gaming, you know. If it just had to be a pimp in a game, maybe I would support it. Well, we'll see how that goes.
Speaking of the big hand motions, has anyone here ever LARPed?
No.
Dawn?
Not that...
You look right at her.
You don't even bother looking at Teresa, right?
I'm pretty sure I haven't LARPed. Not with a group.
Remember the Teresa, time we were in Denny's?
LARPing stands for live action role playing.
Oh, well, thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, I was a little
sorry. Had a little blank look on my face, I guess, because I was actually going to ask a question. You know, what is that?
People get in costumes and they just take it. They just take it to the next step where it's almost actually like a play. So if you'd be watching, you'd almost be seeing a play going on.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
See, I think it would be too, but it's looked down.
Yeah, it's
a
lot. That's like the uber geekiness to actually dress up
but
in.
I've always wanted to do the Call of Cthulhu LARP at Archon, and I keep saying I might sign up for it one of these years. I think they also do like a vampire one.
But does it cost to do it?
No. Oh, no. You just have to sign up. And the only problem
is... your con membership, of course.
Yeah, but it doesn't cost any additional to sign up for the LARP, but it does take valuable dancing time away from me. So.
And we know that Melina likes to tear up the dance floor.
Yes, I do.
I love
you can
dancing,
always
too.
See Chad there too if you decide to go to Archon over in Collinsville this I think October
plug.
Learn more about it at feedtheboot.com.
www.archonstl.org. So
nice job.
All flesh must be eaten. I have to talk about this one because I love it and I have not gotten a chance to play it in a very long time. All flesh must be eaten. Teresa and Carla, I think I told Carla about this before. It's a zombie game, and I love zombies almost as much as I love Cthulhu.
Or Jack Sparrow.
Well, he's just above all of them.
Oh, okay.
We can't even go there.
All right, sorry.
I have another standee, by the way, if you want one.
Wait, I need a standee.
You want one?
She's already got a standee. I deserve
is it
Jack
a different one, or is it the
I work
same
at Barnes
one?
And Noble, and we got these Jack Sparrow standees. They're like you know,
a cardboard cutout.
They're life size.
Now, wait, is it the same one that she has?
I think it's exactly the same.
Oh, can I have it?
Of course.
Oh, can I have it, Dawn?
Okay, I will bring it over. Yes. You will have a Jack Sparrow standee.
Just make sure it's in your bedroom, you know.
It'll be over my bed.
There you go.
All right. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's,
so all flesh.
All flesh.
Eaten.
Yes.
Yes. All flesh must be eaten. It's right up there. It's one of my favorite games, right up there with Call of Cthulhu. And if anyone is running one sometime soon, like if Dan ever wants to run one, I've never had Dan as a GM. I'm about to with the D&D game we're starting, but if he ever wants to run All Flesh, I am there.
He might be open to it because he does like to venture off and do different types of games. Like I know
he loves Undead. He loves.
Yeah, he does.
He loves doing Undead. So.
And he didn't really want to do D&D. He's got a universe that he's created. He calls Danverse and. It's how creative of a name, Danvers. But I mean, it's actually
it is what it is.
But it's really good. I know they've done a few Danvers games, and it's really good. And it's just like it's just so detailed. I mean, the amount of alien races and stuff that are in it are really good. So anyway, I was gonna say, see how you like D&D. If you do like it, then maybe he'll be willing to do a flesh-eaten game. I'm not sure.
It's more, I don't know. I think he can be played a lot of different ways, but every time we've done it, it's been a lot lighter and a lot shorter than any of the D&D campaigns we've done. Like, one time we just did a one-night game, and it was on Halloween. And
oh, that'd be cool.
It was awesome until Adam got too drunk to DM anymore.
Big shock.
Adam just drunk. Went down in flames, but it was a lot of fun while it lasted.
I don't really have a favorite ultimate game that I'd be willing to play just because I haven't been exposed to a lot of them. So I would really think it would just depend on everything that you guys have talked about, the whole gaming experience as a package. How well was it run? How good was the GM? How good did everybody interact with each other? Was it a believable story or was it so unbelievable it was awesome? I don't know. Just all of those things have to come together. And if it overall was a good experience, then that would become my favorite game. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'll play again, but it might be a little while since they're starting a new campaign. And I'm not going to go off and do my own because I know nothing about it.
Besides length, like too long of a game, what would be something that would really turn you off to a particular game or has in the past?
Just things that I've just noticed from games that Dan has run. If I was in the game, I would be really annoyed at people who just tend to have way too many disagreements. Like, they just can't seem to just let their... They refer to things as in character and out of character, and there's, like, really no difference between the two, because they'll be acting out a scene or something, and then like they'll just completely start doing something they would do in real life and not what their character would do, and then somebody disagrees with them out of character, and then they get in this whole argument like, no, you know, you can't do that. And it just, I don't know, it just detracts from the whole game because they're so focused on disagreeing with each other. I see that all the time, and it's just like
in the groups,
yeah. Okay. It's like too much drama. It's like, it's just a game, people.
I don't know. The only thing that I usually have issue with is, as far as choosing a game itself, is a setting. It's like, if I don't like the setting, I just can't even imagine going there. So it's like, I don't want to waste my time with it.
Like, it just sucks from the beginning.
Yeah, it just sucks from the beginning. Why would I even play that? It's like, if it's got bad rules, you can fix rules. But if there's nothing there that appeals to me, why play it?
You know? So, like, if it started out, you were on a planet with no vegetation, it was an all-desert planet, there's, like, yeah, there's nothing here, and it's like, go with it.
It's Tatooine. I like Star Wars. I could do that. But, and Dune. Dune's good, too. There's supposed to be a good Dune RPG, but I've never actually played it.
But you'd have to have other things there to interact with.
It has to have something that I'm interested in. You know, it's like there are existing NPCs that, you know, you can run into or things like that, you know, or creatures or whatever, you know, elements of setting. And you know, a good storyteller helps, a good GM.
Yeah.
If you've got those elements, you're already way ahead of the game.
So can I go into my soapbox about power gamers?
Okay.
Please do. I think the guys have had their side of it, so give us the fresh women's perspective.
Well, you know, we all have one that we know and love and or hate. And I've had the privilege of gaming a few times with someone who we'll anonymously refer to as Phil. And
P-H.
You know, I'm going to try not to give the whole gaming experience, but in this one game, I was like the captain or the leader of the group. I don't remember what my title was, but, you know, every time I'd try to sit there and plan something out and be like, okay, before we jump in there with guns blazing, we need to have a plan. Before I'd even say, let's make a plot, Phil would be like, I run in! My claymore is above my head, and I've got grenades, and I'm throwing them, and I put the C4, and I light it on fire, and I light my body on fire, and I jump on the enemy. And it'd just be like, thanks, Phil. So you've totally undermined my command, and yeah, I'm just kind of sitting here doing nothing.
So great. Everything you had thought about doing is just, like, out the window, because he had to be crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's not really so much him being a power gamer. It's more him not respecting you as a player.
But he does it even when I mean, he does it all the time, even when I wasn't commander in that one little game. I don't know. But at times it worked to Chad's advantage as the GM, because we'd be busy planning and once in a while Phil would go do something and, you know, Chad would acquiesce to him and be like, it gets done. But I don't know, that's just one thing that would, like, really irritate me beyond belief. I just would want to sit there and plan something. And I might plan a little too much, I admit, but, you know, I would rather do that than go in guns a-blazing.
Yeah. Well, it's just if you're planning, period, spending any time trying to do it, and they totally throw that out the window to do their own thing, it's like, what's the point of what you were wanting to do? I don't know. So if that's not a power gamer, what is a power gamer?
A power gamer is someone who takes, I think, is their equipment. They're not in there to actually be a character. They're not there to...
I think Phil definitely qualifies
as
that.
He does, but he does try to bring elements of his character in there. I mean,
so instead of, like, fighting with a sword, he is the sword.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's he doesn't, you know...
He uses his body as the weapon and his six claymores.
I've never seen him play a ninja before, but hey.
But now we all love...
on ninjas.
We love Phil. Anyway.
Phil's great. Just as hairy as Chad, almost.
Oh.
No, he's not.
No. Well, okay. I've not
seen
him.
There's no comparison.
Well, I guess I don't know.
Except for maybe Mike, Dan's brother. He's kind of a furry guy.
I have not lined these shirtless men off to test and compare their furriness. So
we should have that happen. You know, get them all together.
I don't think we should have that happen.
No, that's the podcaster by their hairy chest.
Pictures. There's a commercial. I'm not sure. I don't know if this would be on a commercial that you see all over the country, but we see it all the time on. If you guys have cable, it's G4.
I don't watch television, so no.
Okay, well, G4. I'm not sure what it stands for. I think it's a men station. It is what
It's the gamer station. We're all like, what's G4?
Yeah, it might be because someone's referred to it as game it. TV, yeah. But I'm
it
not
used
sure.
To be, I think it used to be, what, Tech TV? And they
it used to be Tech TV and G4.
So, well, I watch it, obviously, because it has Star Trek TNG on it every night. And they have this commercial every single night. And it's, I think it's Jack Link's beef jerky. And it's... It, like they have like a little story, you know, and it's like called Messing with Sasquatch. And every time they do these different things, like the first episode was Sasquatch is laying there in the sun and like these hikers walk up and they put like shaving cream in his hand and then they tickle his nose and he puts this, you know, and then they're like, ha ha ha, laughing over the beef jerky. And then Sasquatch runs out and like bulldozes him over. And every time we see that, Dan and I look at each other like, it's Chad. Chad is Sasquatch. And so, anyway, that's totally.
Next time Chad passes out at a party, let's shave him and save the hair.
Have a little carpet.
Yeah. We'll make something out of it.
Yeah, he looks so upset.
Hey, he won't hear this before the party tonight.
It's
so
true.
There you go. Yes, well, they might decide to listen to it when they get back from having their pedicures.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll need to let
their
toenails
dry. We'll have to see what color they chose for their toenails.
I'm sure Dan did black or something.
Oh,
you know, yeah. A manly
so
color.
Gothy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't mean to hijack this from you, Melina. Oh, it's just a thought. Sorry. Do you think that gaming just doesn't... Like, all right, obviously we're all here to talk about games, but we keep straying off topic, which I know we're probably going to get feedback that, oh, they didn't really stay on topic, but we don't care because we don't really listen to the podcast.
Oh, the whole point of this is just because we're girls.
Right. Yeah, they just wanted us to talk about anything.
We're wives of donuts.
Wives
should we explain
of
that, or have they explained it already?
I don't...
We don't
it's
listen to the podcast, so we don't know.
It's an in-joke from the big board, if anybody's familiar with that. It's,
I'm not
was
sure.
Something that was posted on the actual, I think, the forums.
It is still there. Well, when the forums come back up, it'll
and
be there.
Chad had scrawled in as one of the topics to be discussed, Wives of Dorks. But naturally, it being Chad writing it, it wasn't something you could actually read. And it looked like Wives of Donuts.
Yes, Wives
so
of Donuts.
So that's what we're actually referring to when we talk about that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, though, who have listened to the podcast thus far probably already know because if they're on the forums, because I think they've talked about it. And I don't know if the guys, like, built up our podcast at all, did they? Like, were they telling people, like, oh, you better tune in?
I believe so.
Well, another thing that I think that it's not just our husband's game, tabletop games. I know my husband has gotten into World of Warcraft and a lot of, like, City of Heroes. And, I mean, I teased him whenever we first got married that he would choose a game, and 3 months later he would end the game and he would choose another game. And so every 3 months he would want a different game. And so finally when he got to World of Warcraft, he really liked it, and he stayed with that a long time.
Adam played World of Warcraft for probably, I don't know, maybe 6 months. He'll probably correct me on that. But everyone made fun of him because he had the weakest animal companion in the game. He, like, he kept the little velociraptor throughout the entire game, and he named it Dog. I would watch him play, and I, like, grew so fond of that little velociraptor and his little claws. And so I got Adam this little velociraptor figure that was, like, actually from Jurassic Park, and when you, like, squeeze its legs back, it actually makes a little velociraptor screeching noise. And I glued a little horn to its nose, and I put the little dog bead adornments around its neck. And
you're so crafty.
Oh, yeah, Adam had a live action dog, and he would sit it next to his computer as he was playing. Wow. I thought it was cute. But...
So Dan's brother and wife, or sister-in-law, rather, are both really into EQ2 or EverQuest 2. I think her name's Meg. I think she's now over in Iraq for the army and stuff. But I know when she was here, they would game all the time. Like, that's what they would do. Like, they would come home from work, they would get on the computers and game until bed. But they did it together. So it wasn't like they had to compromise for time, but wow. I mean,
I tried to do that playing World of Warcraft. I just don't like dungeon crawls. So it doesn't really appeal to me because I just can't do the repetitive stuff.
You know, I was just thinking about that yesterday because Dan's recently started playing Shadow Hearts, the New World. For
it's the same problem I have playing Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
I just don't like going around killing things. I just want the story part.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking about. I was like, okay, because this might sound weird to you guys, but I enjoy watching those games. I don't like to play them, but because they are so much of a story and the graphics are so good. It's like watching a movie, you know, but
I actually agree with that. I do that too.
Yeah,
and Adam's
I love
like,
it.
What Or are you just going to sit there?
Yeah. It's something that Dan and I, you know, when I first met him, he was playing Final Fantasy, I think he was playing Final Fantasy 8.
Was that on PS2?
Well, at the time it was PlayStation. Oh, okay. Regular, but now it's PS2.
Well, I like it if it's on TV. Yeah. I don't mind watching it, stuff like that. But if it's on the computer, it's very hard to
look over a shoulder
or something like that.
Yeah, but he was playing Final Fantasy 8, and I think a lot of people who played Final Fantasy 8 actually had a hard time getting through like the first portion of the first few discs of the game because it was so boring, but it was actually a really good story.
I think that was Adam's favorite, I'm pretty sure, because
is 9.
He likes the romance.
Yeah. Well, I do like the romance of them too, but anyway.
He's such a ball of mush.
He is. But so what was the whole point of this? I've forgotten what I was going to say.
Watching. You like to watch him.
Yeah, I like to. That sounds really bad.
Like to watch him play.
I like those games. I don't remember where I was going with it, though. Nonetheless, though, I think Final Fantasy. Oh, no, it was the dungeon crawl.
Yeah.
But that was my one complaint. It was just over and over again. Okay, so they wander around the world. They get to a dungeon. Oh, big shot. There's a dungeon. They go through all these halls. They fight everybody. There may be a puzzle in there. And then there's the boss fight. And then there's some plot. And then it starts all over again. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it gets a little old, but the story is what keeps you involved.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's what I was thinking about a few days ago, because we were right now playing Shadow Hearts the New World. And I was watching it, and we were in some Mexican or South American, like, temple that he was fighting through. And I'm like, wow, this is really boring. And it's not as good as it used to, because it seems like the dungeons get longer as mm-hmm. the games get better. But anyway, so not to go on a huge long diatribe about that, but...
Well, no, speaking of video games, like, you know, what other aspects of gaming besides, you know, role-playing?
Like tabletop role-plays?
Tabletop, video games, you know, what are you guys into?
Tim likes Zelda, and I really enjoy
watching. The Nintendo or the
We have
ones?
A GameCube, and we had a PS2 at one time. We had he's a big Nintendo guy, so we've had almost every single...
I like Wind Waker a lot. I never was able to finish it.
Oh, he liked Wind Waker, but he didn't like that you had to sail everywhere.
Oh, I love the sailing part.
And
it's so anywhere. It's so zen. It's like, I'm sailing.
Can you hum the music?
But yeah, he's into Zelda, and that's one thing I do like watching, is when he plays Zelda. I can sit there and watch it easily, and I would enjoy it.
Final Fantasy's mine. We're anxiously waiting for Final Fantasy 12 to come out. It keeps getting delayed and delayed, and I think it's supposed to come out in August. So we are counting the days. Yeah, but I think it's set in Ibaris, which is the same world. You guys, Dawn, you might know more about this, but it's a world that existed like in a previous Final Fantasy game, and I think they've apparently made it like really gay. So Dan's like, I don't know if we're going to like it.
Chad's kind of worried about this one because it's got girls with bunny ears.
Yeah, there's like really weird characters in it. So Dan's, I mean, he's not really looking too forward to it. Honestly, the game I'm dying to see would be the next Xenosaga game. I don't know mm-hmm. if you guys played.
I haven't played Xenosaga, the first one, but he didn't like it because it was too much sitting there watching a movie kind of a thing.
Yeah, so there was more movie, but it was good for me because like,
I liked that part.
Yeah, he didn't. Screw the dungeons. But see, Dan gets tired of the dungeons and the fights too. He likes the movie parts. He's probably like Adam, or he enjoys more the storyline and maybe the romance. I'm not sure. But
well, Adam, I really, really like survival horror and video games, and I'm terrible at them. You know, I'm terrible at the puzzle aspect, and I'm terrible at the fighting aspect. So I really like to put them on easy and, you know, just have fun. And I wish he liked those more, because I would love to just sit there and watch him play through Resident Evil, Eternal Darkness. He actually did play through that one. That's like one of my favorites to watch. And, you know, different games like that. Shivers. I have to give a big plug to Shivers. If you have no idea what that is, go out and get it. It's an old Sierra computer game, and you're basically searching through a museum of the strange and bizarre, kind of like a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum. And it's a clicky puzzle game, but it's kind of spooky, and it's really fun.
The one I like for the GameCube is I like Mario Party.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm a big puzzle.
Chatty.
I like Tetris, and I like the Jeweled and stuff like that. So, playing that kind of game is I'm actually pretty good at, because it's all...
Yo, you need to come over for one of Chad's Mario Party
things. I know, he loves Mario Party.
I'm not good at those types of games. Driving cars or any of that stuff, I suck. Mm. And so it's always like in last place, and I get all frustrated and everything. But anyway, I don't know.
John, what about you? What's your favorite video game?
I'm still playing The Sims 2, so that probably has to be the one. I'm really looking forward to the expansion where they have pets again. Because Sims 1 had a pets expansion and you could get dogs and cats and stuff. And I know it sounds really stupid, but yeah, but I really enjoy building houses.
Yeah, I was actually watching, my mom was over the other night to watch TV with us, and my brother and I were talking about the Picard song. I don't know if you guys have heard about that. It's just some guys took a bunch of phrases from Star Trek Next Generation and put it into this song. And there's different types of videos that go along with the Picard song, but one of them has the whole cast of Next Generation done in Sims. And it was really funny. And they're like dancing and interacting, but they had like, you know, Data and Riker and all of them. And I thought of you, and I was like, I wonder if Dawn knows anything about that. Or like, I guess you could, because you can create your own settings in Sims, can't you?
You can pretty much create anything you want, which is what appeals to me. I currently have a village of nothing but Naruto Sims, if you're familiar with the anime or manga.
I remember your Witch Hunter Robin Sims.
I did have Witch Hunter Robin Sims, and they were completely custom. They are very beautiful. I wish I still had them.
I need to see some screenshots of these.
I don't have any.
So, you know, I mean, we've talked about a lot of different subjects today. You know, we've
mainly going off on the guys, but.
And, you know, all our tangents.
Our numerous, numerous tangents.
You know, the guy's hair.
Ooh, hair.
Sasquatch. But if you had to sum everything up, how you felt about being the wife of a gamer in one word, can be positive or negative, what would you say?
One word. Wow, interesting is probably what I would pick. Do you want me to expound on that or just leave it at interesting?
Whatever you want.
No, I'll just leave it at, it's just interesting.
You better not expound on that.
better not. Just
I'm just gonna say that my experience has been very easy because it's just something we both do. There's nothing that really causes conflict with us as far as gaming is concerned. It's just a hobby we both have in common. So
I would say compromise when it comes to Tim and I.
I think for me, the word I would probably use is fun because it's also enlightening because it's opened me up to a whole new world that I had no idea was there before. And, you know, I would have never been introduced to stuff like Archon and fantasy costume making and Ren fairs, which we didn't even talk about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would have never been open up to that stuff. And I think it is all a lot of fun. So we hope that you guys enjoyed our Females, Lady, Wives of Donuts podcast today. Yeah. And if you liked us a lot, let us know on the forum, and we might come back to talk to you all sometime.
Well, yes. I just want to add in, if you didn't like it, don't say anything, because they do say, hell hath no whatever as a woman scorn.
Or, oh, yes.
Hell hath no fury
like as a woman scorn. As we all know, Melina is in control of the Greek fire, so
yes.
Be careful.
I'm the wielder.
She's the wielder of the Greek fire.
So only leave us comments if you liked our podcast. If not, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
But if you tell us too much, we might come back and then you'll have to listen to us for another hour.
Yeah, so. That's
and
true.
Get off on more tangents about our husbands.
And hair.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot. This show is copyright 2006, fully owned by its hosts. The games, movies, and other properties mentioned in this show are the property of their respective owners. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com.